before we met. I didn't know your name or what you looked like yet. I could have stayed at home and gone to bed. I could have gone to see a film instead. You might have changed your mind and seen your friend. Life could have been very different, but then something changed. Do you believe that there's someone up above? And does he have a timetable directing acts of love? Why did I write this song on that one day? Why did you touch my hand and softly say, stop asking questions that don't matter anyway. Just give us a kiss to celebrate here today. Something changed.
Okay, that was Something Changed by Pulp. And as promised, we've got our Tony Hawk fun fact here after the first song. And Tony Hawk has 63 actor credits on IMDb, including The Simpsons and Sharknado 5 Global Swarming. And I just found that very silly and fun. And he's so talented, isn't he? He's just a jack of all trades. He can do anything he puts his mind to. And I think we all believe that, and we believe in you, Tony. So I hope you're listening. Shout out to you. In honor of Tony Hawk's acting career, I'm going to play a song from one of my... it's not really one of my favorite movies. It's a good movie, though. It's not a bad movie. The Virgin Suicides, directed by Sofia Coppola. But this is Bathroom Girl by Air.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Bathroom Girl by Air from The Virgin Suicides. And I just wanted to touch on this again because I got a text that made me realize that I just like sort of brushed past this. But yes, Tony Hawk was in Sharknado 5, the global swarming. And in order to, you know, educate myself a little more on Sharknado 5 global swarming, I Googled it. And it turns out Olivia Newton-John was also in it in like a more principal role than Tony Hawk. Olivia Newton-John did not need to be in Sharknado 5. I'm sure she was fine without the Sharknado 5 role. But nevertheless, she's in Sharknado 5. And I've never actually seen any Sharknado movies. Let me know if anyone listening has, because I feel like no one has seen them. Everyone just knows about them. But how did they make 5 movies if that's the case? Anyways, maybe Olivia Newton-John is like a recurring actor. Maybe she was in the first Sharknado, you know, the OG. And maybe I'm just uneducated on the plot of Sharknado and the, you know, very connected, enthralling storyline that, runs throughout the franchise. You guys let me know. This next song is by a band that I've been listening to like all day today, because it's very, well, actually it's very rainy day vibes and it's not raining today. It was actually really nice outside, but I just felt like listening to it. This is Tin Floor by Someone Still Loves You, Boris Yeltsin.
Roads are gone, your house has changed. The city had another name, and everyone was looking round for you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. The mayor left, he stole your shoes. The bike you rode was on the news, and everyone was leaving. We can't talk to you like that. We have to talk to you in the past. We're reading books about your buildings now.
Okay, that was the very short Tin Floor by Someone Still Loves You, Boris Yeltsin. And I am doing more research on the Sharknado franchise because I got curious. And I gotta say, the poster for Sharknado 1 is pretty bomb. Let me just give a little description. We got a shark coming out of the blur, very clearly a great white. It's giving Jaws. And then you look closer at the blur, you realize it's a tornado. There are other sharks coming out and descending size as they get closer, but the one shark is really coming at you. And its nose nudges up into Sharknado in red font outlined in white. Very dramatic. It's like almost impact font, but not quite. We got Tara Reid, Ian Ziering, I don't know, and John Hurd in little font at the top. You know, those are the real selling actors there. And then this is my favorite part. Well, actually, okay. Before my favorite part, there's a Ferris wheel being toppled over by the Sharknado. Anyways, under the Sharknado, it says, "Enough said!" Exclamation point. Sharknado, enough said. I feel like that is so true. Like, Sharknado, you know what it's about. You know what's going to happen. So I'll delve deeper into this page during the next song. Wait. It earned $200,000 from 200 screenings. Oh, at the one night only special midnight. Okay. I'll educate you guys after this. This next song is I Haven't Been True by the Walters. Okay, that was I Haven't Been True by the Walters. Okay, and I swear I will shut up about Sharknado after this, but I have to share the cold hard facts with the audience because I feel like, you know, most people are like familiar with the concept of Sharknado, at least I was, but I didn't really know much about like actually, you know, what happened in the real world as Sharknado was released, like not like in the movie, but in the real world as the movies were released. And I've just learned a little bit about Sharknado and I want to share. So Sharknado was a made-for-TV movie. I feel like I should have guessed that, but for some reason I thought it was some sort of blockbuster theater experience, but no, made-for-TV on the Sci-Fi station, which so tracks with everything I've ever watched from Sci-Fi. And so the genre that Wikipedia gives it is dark comedy, but it says in this blurb that the first movie took itself more seriously than the next five movies. So it did not stop at Sharknado 5 Global Swarming. Oh no, there's also the last Sharknado, It's About Time, after that, the sixth movie in the franchise. And before those, we've got Sharknado 2, the second one, which is the best sequel name I've ever heard for like a second movie. But my favorite one is Sharknado, the Fourth Awakens, for the fourth movie. Is that not incredible? Anyways, if anyone, as I've said, I've never seen Sharknado, but I'm very curious now, and like I really want to watch The Fourth Awakens. So if anyone wants to sit down with me and have a Sharknado 6 movie marathon, please hit me up. I will do it. It sounds really fun. And if anyone's actually seen the Sharknado movies, let me know. Apparently the budget for the first movie was $2 million. But I can't find how much it made. But so since it was made for TV, so like how do you gauge that? I don't know. But it did have a one night only midnight theatrical screening with Regal Cinemas, the first movie did, and it earned $200,000 from that, from 200 screenings. So that's what I learned about Sharknado. I'm going to stop talking about Sharknado now, but I had a lot of fun learning about it. By the way, you are listening to KHDX FM Conway, Arkansas, and this is my show, Are You There, Tony Hawk? This next song is classic from a classic, not actually a classic band, but a classic band in my mind. It is The Sun in the Trees by Twin Peaks, and if you haven't listened to the Twin Peaks band, I remember I only got into them because Finn Wolfhard liked them whenever I was in middle school. So I'm admitting that openly. I feel like most people who listen to Twin Peaks got it from Finn Wolfhard because he's like friends with the band, and I did follow him on Instagram in middle school, and that's the reason I listened to Twin Peaks. But they're good. Sun in the Trees, Twin Peaks.
We'll be right back.
Okay, that was Sun in the Trees by Twin Peaks, and the guitars on that song are just so vibey. Oh god, I just said vibey. I like the guitars on that song. I think they are good. They are pleasing to my ears. There you go. Oh my god, I just remembered that. Okay, I'm about to play a Kishibashi song, and so I just remembered that Kishibashi came to Crystal Bridges, and then no one wanted to go with me, so I could not go. That was really sad. That was really sad. I hope he does that again sometime. Because now I have friends who listen to Kishibashi. Okay, I'm thinking about it. He should come out with another album, too. His last album that he came out with, which the song that I'm about to play is from that album. But it was so sad. Because the whole concept was, like, about Japanese internment camps. Which, like, was cool to listen to. And, like, wow, it was an incredible album. But it was so sad. And I miss his love songs. Because he had, like, such peppy little love songs with the little violins. I miss those. I mean, I can still listen to them, but I want him to create more. But also, he's, like, this stuff is good, but it's just, like, I miss the old Kishibashi. But this next song has some of the most incredible vocals I've ever heard, and strings. Love Kishibashi, love his production, and love his vocals. He's just incredible. Anyways, this is Penny Rabbit and Summer Bear by Kishibashi.
Under the ocean, far from the sun, Penny Rabbit wondering when will we ever become one? Must I suffer days to come? Fresh out of wishes, fate wouldn't dare. Had to see the summer bear filled with its little lungs with air. It didn't matter, he didn't care.
Summer bear, fairy tale of perfect hair. None of memory could compare. Summer.
Okay, that was Penny Rabbit and Summer Bear by Kishibashi. I think such a beautiful song. And one thing that I noticed while I was listening to it again is that, like, the drums are actually way more prominent than I remember, and they were very good drums. Good job, Kishibashi. I know you're always listening, tuning in to Are You There, Tony Hawk on KHDX FM Conway, Arkansas, on 8 p.m. Central Time on Sundays at Hendrix College. I know Kishibashi is always listening, just as Tony Hawk is always listening. And Kishibashi, I'm telling you right now, I know you're really self-conscious about your work, but you did good. You did good with that one. You hit the nail on the head there. This next song never fails to remind me of my sister. I feel like I say that for at least one song every single show. But this one, it's for real. It's for real. And there's also a fun little music video for this song, so check it out once I tell you the name. But I'm going to keep you in suspense for a little bit longer. My sister bought me this album on vinyl for Christmas last year. Very good gift. Very good album. And this band, ooh, I love it because the way it's like all modern stuff, but they just get the essentials of like older music. Sometimes it's 70s, sometimes it's like 60s, sometimes it's 80s. They get the essentials and they can like reproduce that sound so easily and so like well, and make very good music, and it's always incredible. Something just crashed in the door. Okay, that was scary. I think the building is falling down. Okay, anyways, this is The One by the Lemon Twigs. Okay, that was The One by the Lemon Twigs. Shout out to that album, shout out to all their other EPs and stuff, and shout out to my sister, a beautiful little girl who came down to visit me for my birthday weekend, and also to meet a cat. And I took her around on a cat tour of Hendrix campus, and we saw so many cats, like cats that I don't usually see. So I think she has the magic touch, the magic cat beacon inside her soul. So good for her. This next song I was so obsessed with over the summer. Like, I think it might make an appearance on my Spotify Wrapped, might not. It's definitely up there. I played it over and over and over again. I don't even remember why. I think I like almost got this album on CD and then chose a different album instead. But for some reason that made me want to listen to this album. But this is Razor Blade by The Strokes from First Impressions of Earth. Okay, that was Razor Blade by The Strokes. I think the lyrics are so silly and fun. And the drums, the guitar, the tune, the song, so good. The Strokes, they hardly ever miss. They missed a few times, but hardly ever. I remember whenever their last album came out, I was so upset for like 24 hours because one of the songs was called Why Are Sundays So Depressing, and they had an apostrophe after the Y in Sundays when it did not need to be there because it is not possessive in that context. And I was so upset, but then like I checked the next day and they had fixed it. But then I was always wondering if they printed it that way on like the CDs and like records and stuff, if they printed it with a typo, like, or I guess it wasn't a typo, it was just like a mistake. So if anyone knows the answer to that, please let me know. I'm so deathly curious because I feel like it would be too late for them to fix it on those. But maybe it was just the streaming services that got it wrong and not, I don't know. I'm so curious about it. And you can't find Like no one cared enough to like do an investigation, and I care enough, but I don't have the sort of resources to do that. So we need to contact the New York Times next time. Next time that happens, I'm going straight to the NYT, the Wall Street Journal, maybe. They care. They love finance and the Strokes. New York. Well, New York. Also, Julian Casablancas from the Strokes. He posted on Instagram the other day, and it was his review of the new Dune movie, and he said it sucked. And I gotta say, it's been almost a month since I've seen the new Dune movie, and I still don't know how I feel about it. So, I mean, is Julian so wrong? Is Julian so wrong? It put me to sleep. I was really sleepy, though, whenever I started watching it. So I really, and also I haven't read the books or seen the other movies. So I really feel like I'm not qualified to answer. I'm just going to stop talking about it, but Julian Casablancas does not like it. This next song, I've always wanted to play it. Like, it's not on Instagram stories, music, which has always made me so upset because I always listen to it and I'm like, this is the best song I've ever heard and people need to know about it right now, and I have no way of sharing it in a meaningful way. For me, that is Instagram music. But it is so good. It's just a beautiful song. So this is Bullfrog by Orangutan.
Drink the water falling from the sky, running in circles all day. Sing all night, but I'd rather catch a fly or bury myself in the mud. I'm the king of this pond. I'm living like a bullfrog should.
Okay, that was Bullfrog by Orangutan, and one thing about that song, they knew what they were doing when they named it Bullfrog. That sounded, okay, sonically to me, the song gives me not just Bullfrog, but like giant freakish Bullfrog in space vibes. Like, think like not like too big, but like the size of the Bullfrog in Pan's Labyrinth, which I just remembered. If you haven't seen Pan's Labyrinth, it's on Netflix. Watch it. It's Guillermo del Toro, I think. I think it is, isn't it? It's either him or the other guy. It's not the director that did Prisoner of Azkaban. It's the director that did The Shape of Water. Anyways, I was expecting, I watched it for the first time, like right before Halloween. I was expecting it to be like a fun fantasy kids movie. It was not. It was definitely not. It was so sad, but so good. And everyone should watch it. Very good, sad, little bit creepy, but not too creepy. Good movie. Shout out Guillermo del Toro or whoever else did it. I haven't seen The Shape of Water. I should watch The Shape of Water because based on how I liked the weirdness of Pan's Labyrinth, I feel like I would like The Shape of Water. Anyways. Okay. This is what I was thinking of. I couldn't remember what I was thinking of. So, I was talking about Dune. What I haven't seen yet, The French Dispatch, also has Timothée Chalamet. Other movie, haven't seen yet, Last Night in Soho. I think some of my friends are watching it right now. Not me, though. Haven't seen Last Night in Soho, haven't seen The French Dispatch, and I feel like I need to see both of them very badly. But I'm really, really scared that I'm not going to like Last Night in Soho. Because, like, the vibes, I don't know if I can get behind it. The, like, 60s vibes, I don't know if it's for me. And, like, I can't tell if it's a horror movie. And it has Matt Smith in it, which I have nothing against Matt Smith. I loved him as the Doctor in Doctor Who. But I couldn't get into The Crown. And that was also a Matt Smith thing. So I feel like, I don't know. I'm a little scared about it. I'm a little scared about Last Night in Soho. I'm not scared at all about The French Dispatch. Because one thing about me, if you can make a movie look artsy, I will be convinced that it's a good movie. No matter how good it actually is. I'll be like, wow, that symmetrical shot and the color palette, that was the best movie I've ever seen. I'm very gullible like that, and I don't actually know anything about movies. So I'm sure I'll like The French Dispatch. And Timothée Chalamet has a mustache, so he doesn't just look like Timothée Chalamet. He looks like Timothée Chalamet with a mustache. Very excited to see that. By the way, you are listening to KHDX FM Conway, Arkansas. And this is Are You There, Tony Hawk. This next song was a like freshman sophomore year classic for me in high school. I don't know how good it actually is, but it just is so nostalgic for me that I love listening to it. So I hope it's not like awful and I'm just playing trash for you guys. But I remember whenever this band, they were like hyping up their new album. I was so, so excited. And then the album came out and I hated it. So I'm a little scared about the quality of this song in actuality. But this is Hamilton South by Vacations. Okay, that was Hamilton South by Vacations. Oh my god, I forgot the band name for a second. And I will say, there was a time in my life where I really thought that, like, the, like, keeping in the, like, edges of the recording, like, at the end there, where they're like, oh, can we do it again? Can we do it again? Can we do it again right then? I used to think that was so cool and different of them, but now it just sort of annoys me that I have to, like, play that on the radio, or else it, like, sounds really awkward if I just cut it off. So I have a bone to pick with quirky indie artists now. Stop doing that. Stop doing that for my sake. Start fading out your songs in the middle of the chorus like people in the 80s did. That is so good. I love it when you do that because then it sounds so natural whenever I turn off the aux and turn back on the mic. It sounds so good. And I understand music history so much better now just because I've had to operate this switch sound thing, board thing, whatever it's called. The buttons. The buttons and the switches and the slidey things. Operating that and the mic and the aux and the computer and all that and the speakers and the radio. It has made me understand everything so much better. I am so smart now. I know everything about music ever. This next song, I have to give a shout out to my dad for having an extensive CD collection that he lets me just root through and steal from for my car CD collection. This is an album that he told me to listen to because I found it on CD and I was like, aha, the cover's funny. He was like, that's actually a really good album. I think you would like it. And now it is probably one of my favorite albums. Very good, solid all the way through. And this band is just super good, super good. But this is I Feel by the Sundays.
I'm losing the words.
Okay, that was I Feel by the Sundays. And I got to say, my Matt Smith comment earlier has started some Doctor Who discourse among a few listeners and myself. And I will say, I'm not gonna comment on who I think the best Doctor is, because I just don't want to start that much drama right now. But I will say, I just think that Doctor Who is genuinely such a good show. Like, I hate that it gets lumped in with Sherlock and Supernatural, because Supernatural was just an awful show. Completely awful. And Sherlock may have been well made, may have been like quality, but the way its fans treated it made it a bad show. But Doctor Who didn't have, like, it was like, it was fun. It made fun of itself, but had good morals, you know? And it's like a fun little concept. And it's just like, woo, sci-fi and magic. And the fans were annoying, but like they didn't make the show what it wasn't. That's what I'm saying. And it's just such a fun little show. If you can handle watching British people go on adventures, then you have to watch Doctor Who. It's a classic. And I definitely did try to rewatch it over the summer, but I didn't get very far before I like got too busy. But I might try again, because now I'm thinking about it and now I'm like, I gotta get to the Matt Smith storylines. Oh my god, the library, this like the silent library or whatever, that episode. So good. With River. Oh my god, I forgot about River. No, I didn't. That's a lie. I never forgot. The Notebook. Oh my god. Okay. You guys know what I'm talking about. Everyone knows what I'm talking about right now. I make so much sense all the time, especially on this show. Oh my god, I don't have that much time left. Okay. Well, I had like three other songs I wanted to play, but I guess I'm just going to play the last one. I had a fun time talking to you guys tonight. This has been Are You There, Tony Hawk on KHDX FM Conway, Arkansas. I'm going to play us out with That's Life by Frank Sinatra.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune when I'm back on top in June. I said that's life. And as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down, 'cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
I tell you, I can't deny it. I thought of quitting, baby, but my heart just ain't gonna buy it. And if I didn't think it was worth one single try, I'd jump right on a big bird and then I'd fly. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself laying flat on my face, I just pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
And I can't deny it. Many times I thought of cutting out, but my heart won't buy it. But if there's nothing shaking come this here July, I'm gonna roll myself up in a big ball and die.
chasing my